Good evening. So good to be back with you. I've missed too many prayer meetings. And Kim and I are so blessed to be back. And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 56 tonight, just for one verse here and a devotional thought, as I think particularly about being away from the prayer meetings during this these weeks of ministry that we've had, and a week of vacation also. Really missed this time to get together with you. And this verse recently jumped out at me. And I just want to read Isaiah 56 and verse 7. And we'll make a little bit of brief reference to an earlier verse as we go through this. But our thoughts will be drawn from this seventh verse of Isaiah 56. We read there, "Even them I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." The little phrase, if you noticed in the bulletin what my topic would be tonight, you noticed that little phrase that comes out of this verse. Make them joyful in my house of prayer. And so I want to look at this verse 7 and focus on that little phrase. I see the other three phrases in that verse kind of blooming out of that. Now, I will just make a little bit of a disclaimer, if you want to call it, or an explanation. I recognize that this verse is speaking specifically in its direct interpretation of the millennial kingdom. That's a future day. But I know that though there is one interpretation of every passage, there are many applications when we are able to back those up with other scriptures. So as I think tonight about this word picture about those who are joyful in God's house of prayer, I think about what the house of God was in the Old Testament. I've got some references. I'm not going to, that's another message, but we know in Genesis 28:17, Jacob, in the place where he was sleeping with his head on a rock and had the dream of the angels on the ladder, he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God." And we know that the tabernacle, when it was in Shiloh, Judges 18:31, was referred to as the house of God. In 1 Chronicles 22:2, David is giving instructions regarding the temple that his son Solomon would build, and he speaks there of building the house of God. When Ezra and others went back to Jerusalem after the temple had been destroyed, they were going back to re-erect the house of God. And of course, the house of God, as we would understand it in the Old Testament, would speak of that place where God would manifest His presence among His people. Now, we come into the New Testament in the church age, and the verse that is particularly relevant is 1 Timothy 3:15, where Paul speaks to Timothy concerning him knowing how he ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And as we study the New Testament in the epistles, we find very clearly that this building is not the house of God. We are the house of God. We meet together in this building, but if there was no power and we decided to go out on the lawn, we would still be in the house of God because we are the house of God. And as we think about that, and I think about these people in a future day, God making them joyful in His house, and He calls it here His house of prayer. His house of prayer. You remember the Lord Jesus, when He cleansed the temple in His ministry, He said to those people that were buying and selling, He said, this is to be a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. This is my Father's house. So we're going to just look and draw three reasons from this verse for us to be joyful in God's house of prayer. That's us. And I think particularly, I think there's a particular application when we come together for a prayer meeting as an assembly. That's what we do every Wednesday night. When we come together, I believe that in a special, specific way, we are the house of God. And as I've been away from this meeting, I'm struck even more about the value of this meeting and the need to be joyful in the house of God. And we come and we bring some pretty heavy requests sometimes, something that could kind of drag us down, and we've all been through at least half a week, and that can drag us down two, and we know what's coming ahead, and that could drag us down three, but we can come together and be joyful in the house of God. So let's just think real quickly about these three reasons. And the first one is that we can be joyful in our approach, the privilege that we have of approaching God in His house of prayer. Notice there in the beginning of the verse, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. Now we think of somewhere that we don't have necessarily the right to approach. And you could go up to Washington, D.C. and you would be welcome. And you could go down Pennsylvania Avenue and you would be welcome. And you could go up and you can look and you could see the White House and you'd be welcome. But don't try to go past that gate. Don't try to go inside that fence unless you have either an invitation or some type of legitimacy that you're going to be able to get in there. You can't approach. You can't just walk up and knock on President Trump's bedroom door. And we see here, as particularly in the Old Testament, we think of that temple, that building where they would come. And we know that not just anybody could approach and go in that building. We know that even in the day of the Lord Jesus, there were four courts identified. And depending on who you were, would determine which of those courts, how close you could get to the actual temple and the Holy of Holies within that building. And the closest was the court of the priests, those who were called by God to serve Him in offering sacrifices and representing Him also to the people, as well as representing the people to Him. And then a little further back from that was the court of Israel, and that's where the Jewish men could go into that court. They couldn't get as close as the priests, those who were of the tribe of Levi, but they could come up to the edge. Well, the next court was the court of the women. And Jewish women could get not quite as close as the Jewish men and not as close as the priest, but they could get closer than that outer court, and that was us. That was the court of the Gentiles. And that's us. We're the Gentiles. And that were those, if you look back, in verse 6, you'll see who the them are. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain. Notice there in verse 6, also the sons of the foreigner. The sons of the foreigner, of the stranger. The person who was not a Jewish person. He said, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. The holy mountain, Mount Zion, there in Jerusalem. And this spoke of coming near to God. You know, we're the them. We are the them in application in this verse. And the Lord says, even them, and I believe He says to us, even you, I will bring you close to my set apart place. In Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13, we read that we were once Gentiles in the flesh. We were called uncircumcision. We were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. But I love verse 13, and I think you do too. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, we have the joy that we can approach God. We can come to where He is. We have access, Ephesians 2:18. We, both Jew and Gentile now, those who come in the name of the Lord Jesus, who have trusted Him as Savior, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We can rejoice in God's house of prayer because we can approach His throne of grace. And we need to be joyful in the house of prayer, coming together, because we can approach God. Or the second joy that we see, we can rejoice in acceptance. Not only approach, but acceptance. Notice what he says there after he speaks of being joyful in his house of prayer. He says, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. In that first phrase, God says, I'll bring them to my holy mountain. In the second phrase, or the third one actually in the verse, second one we're looking at, he says, their sacrifices and offerings will be accepted on my altar. You see, God is setting the parameters based on his character. He says, it's my altar. And only those offerings and sacrifices that meet his standards will be accepted. And we know that all of those sacrifices in the Old Testament, they pointed forward to the Lord Jesus, our sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 through 14, we read a quotation from the Old Testament, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So we see that sacrifice, the Lord Jesus, he is that offering, he is that sacrifice that is accepted by God, and because of him, when we approach, as we read in Hebrews 4:16, that throne of grace, when we are allowed to approach boldly, we know that our prayers are going to be accepted because we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who offered one sacrifice for sins forever himself. And because of that accepted sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, our prayers are now accepted by him at his throne of grace. We can rejoice in God's house of prayer because our prayers are accepted by God. Now, we take that for granted because many of us have been praying for years and years and years and years in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we know that. But maybe we don't get joyful about it. Maybe we don't get excited about it. We can be joyful in God's house of prayer. And then finally, thirdly in this list, we can rejoice in association. Notice there in the last phrase, for my house shall be called a house of prayer, last three words, for all nations. For all nations. As we think about that future day in the millennial kingdom, and we think about all of these nations coming in to worship God, we have a wonderful kind of side picture to that when we look at the church. Because what is the church today? The church today is every believer, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. It doesn't matter if you're in Uganda. It doesn't matter if you were born in Bolivia or you live in Indonesia or in the United States of America. It doesn't matter if you're old or young or in between, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter your background, your culture, your status, your language, your preference. It does not matter because we know that the body of Christ, the church, is all believers. And God calls us to come together as His house of prayer. All different backgrounds. Coming together and rejoicing in our association. I am privileged. I am privileged to join with you in prayer. That is an honor for me to come here and join with you and to pray with you, to associate with you specifically for the purpose of prayer. Ephesians 2:14, the Lord Jesus Himself is our peace, who has made both Jew and Gentile one and has broken down the middle law of separation. We can rejoice in God's house of prayer because we are able to pray in association with others who are of like precious faith. 2 Peter 1:1. Equally precious faith. Your faith may be stronger than mine. You may have had your faith longer than I have had mine. But our faiths are equally precious, and we come together because our faith is all in the Lord Jesus. We come together, we associate together, and also we are like-minded. Not on every detail of everything, but we come together with our minds focused on the Lord Jesus and bringing our prayers to the Father at His throne of grace, knowing they're going to be accepted because we are coming in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm going to make them joyful in my house of prayer. You know, I believe that the Lord has made us joyful in the house of prayer. The question is, are we sincerely and fully enjoying our approach to His throne of grace? The acceptance of Him, of our prayers, and the association with all true believers who pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, we got a lot of reason to be joyful. We can be excited. We can be enthusiastic. God has given us every reason to do it. And there's a lot we could add to that list, but those are the ones I saw in that verse. But He has made us joyful in His house of prayer. Are we joyful in His house of prayer? I hope that we are. And I hope that anybody who comes to visit our prayer meeting, or they haven't been in a while and they come back, I hope they'll say, those people are joyful. They are excited about what they're doing. And I know they got some tough stuff going on, but they're joyful in the house of prayer. We got reason to be joyful. May I be joyful. May each of us be joyful in God's house of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for bringing us to Your house of prayer, one another. We've joined together tonight. We've had a wonderful time of singing and of sharing our needs and then of bringing those needs before You audibly and silently. And Lord, we thank You that You've heard. We thank You that we've been able to approach not just this room, but we've been able to approach the throne room of heaven where Your throne of grace is. And Lord, we've been able to come and we've known that our prayers would be accepted by You because we are praying in the name of the One who offered Himself as the final and only acceptable sacrifice for sin. And Father, we rejoice that we can come together. We can come from a lot of different places and a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different mindsets. But Lord, we come together and we rejoice that we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank You for Him. Lord, thank You for making us joyful. Help us to enjoy that joy. And Father, we pray that our joy would overspread, that You'd bring more brothers and sisters to associate with us in this prayer time. And Father, they would understand and recognize the joy that is theirs and that they can take part in by coming together with the saints and corporately praying. Thank You for blessing us with that conviction and for blessing us with that joy. We love You and pray in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.